Don't get worried, I'm not going to lead a song. I do want you to turn to number 16, though, in your songbook. We're going to read a few of the lines from that song as an introduction to our lesson today. Number 16, you will recognize that it is A Mighty Fortress, written by Martin Luther, back in, it's believed, the year 1529. And the year 1529 saw Martin Luther and several of the other protesters, from which we get the Protestant Reformation. Those protesters were being severely persecuted. And so Martin Luther sits down and writes this song. And the song is basically from or based upon our text today, Psalm 46, to which we'll be going in a minute. But look at some of the words that he writes in A Mighty Fortress. He says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right one on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with evil filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. This body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." And we'll see when we look at Psalm 46 how so many of those thoughts come directly from that psalm. Hopefully you will have your Bible with you as we look at Psalm 46. And our lesson is simply, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Psalms 46, verse 1. The psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Selah, which was a musical concept back at the time. Refuge. This was a word used at that time for some type of great fortress, like a big rock fortress set up on a hill with massive walls around it. And so that's the idea portrayed here by the psalmist, is God is a mighty fortress, mighty in the sense that it's impenetrable. All the fortresses back that's ever been built, they were all able to be destroyed in one way or another, penetrated, but not God. He is a mighty, impenetrable fortress, one that no one can destroy, no one can penetrate, not even Satan. And so when the psalmist is writing, God is our refuge, that's what he has in mind. God is always there, a very present help in trouble. God doesn't take a vacation. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't slumber. God isn't too busy. God is always there. That's what the psalmist is saying. Regardless of what time we go to him or whenever we need his help, we know he's available. We know he's available. So for those people who desire to put their trust in him, who are seeking him, we know that he's there. When trouble comes, he's there. We don't have to wait to see him. We don't have to make an appointment to see him. That's what the psalmist is telling us. He's a very present help, always available, always there. And because of that, we can experience peace. Because he says, therefore, because God is a present help in trouble, he is a refuge, he's a strength, therefore we will not fear. Doesn't make any difference what we might fear, he says we don't have to fear because of him. Turn to a few pages over in your Bible to Psalm 71 and notice what the psalmist writes there about how he will lead us to safety. Psalm 71, and let's read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 71, 1 through 3. In you, O Lord, I trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You've given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You know, it is never foolish, the psalmist says, to trust in God. It is always wise to trust in Him, regardless of the reasons that you need to go to Him. And he mentions some. It doesn't make any difference, regardless of what might occur. You can always put your trust in Him. Even if the fear is imagined, even if it's not a real fear. You know, a lot of people have imagined fears. So it doesn't make any difference whether the fear is a real, actual fear or just something you imagine. He says it doesn't make any difference. You can go to God with any of those. And because God is your refuge, He's always there to help. He's always there to give you strength. You don't have to fear those things. That's the help that He gives. And that's what the psalmist is portraying. And he says, even though the earth be removed, that's pretty serious. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, those are monumental things. It doesn't make any difference if what we're concerned about or afraid of is real small or it's monumental. It doesn't make any difference. God is there to take care of those. That's what he says. And so the psalmist says, I can go to him regardless. Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. Real or imagined, doesn't make any difference. I can go to him for everything. And that's why the psalmist is so happy. This is a psalm of peace. This is a psalm of joy. This is a psalm of rejoicing because God is a very present help in trouble. Those troubles might be financial troubles. They might be health troubles. They can be all kinds of troubles, emotional troubles, mental troubles. It doesn't make any difference. You can go to him for all of those troubles. Read with me Proverbs 3. I think this will be very enlightening. Proverbs 3, and let's begin in verse 24. Proverbs 3, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. What's he saying? He's always on the side of those who seek him, of the faithful, so that we never need fear anybody or anyone, anything. Go back with me to Psalm 27. We'll be visiting Psalm 27 several times. This is a psalm of David, Psalm 27, verse 1. And you might want to keep your finger there as we're going to look at several of those verses later. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And he goes on and talks about, you know, the wicked camping around him and all these things. He says, as long as I desire to be in the presence of God, I don't have any reason to fear those things. Because even if the enemy takes my life, I'm still going to be with God. And that's what he's wanting us to know there in Psalm 46. In verse 3 of Psalms 46, he pictures waters roaring, waters being troubled, mountains shaking. But even though those terrible things are happening, he says the peace of God allows us to be calm. And we think about Jesus on the ship when the great storm comes and his apostles are terrified. They think they're going to die, don't they? What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He knows there's no reason to be afraid, to be anxious. Even though his apostles are just at their wits' end, he's not, and he teaches them a lesson. Oh, you have little faith? Why don't you have more faith? And that's what he says in this psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David wrote, I'll fear no evil. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of storms they are. Again, they could be financial storms, and most people have financial storms sometime in their life. Physical storms, people have all kinds of physical storms and emotional storms and health storms, all kinds of storms, spiritual storms, where they doubt God's presence, where they doubt God listening, where they doubt God is with them. I mean, people have those kind of doubts. They have those kind of fears, storms. And so we know we can trust them. Well, he goes on. Verse 4 of Psalm 46. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And of course, this certainly goes back to the Mosaical period when we had the tabernacle and then the temple. What did those represent to the people? You know, back during the days of the tabernacle, it was movable. They would put it up. Then when they had to move, they would tear it down. But whenever it was moved, even God's presence was still noted and seen among the people. And so to them, that represented God's presence. And then, of course, when it became permanent in Jerusalem, when Solomon built the temple, it still represented God's presence. And that helped those people knowing that God was present. Well, here in Psalms 46, we see the idea of God being present with the people. He's going to be with them. It's symbolic of His presence. Of course, today, the Bible says, we don't have a physical tabernacle as far as something that man builds, or there's no physical temple that God resides in and nowhere else. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3, that God resides where? In the church, in us, Christians. And so, in that sense, we are the tabernacle of God. We're the temple of God, right? Again, going back to 1 Corinthians 3. So, God's presence is with us in a very real way. And so, the psalmist says, you know, look at the fact that God is with you. He's tabernacling. That's what he's telling us today. He's tabernacling with us. And so, that should help us because he's with us. He mentions he provides for his people. He helps his people. Even though the nations are raging, the kingdoms are being moved, he utters his voice and what? The earth moves. The earth melts. God's power. You know, the Lord lives with his people. I think that's what he wants us to understand in that part. The Lord lives with his people. He is with us continually, always. He's never far away. He never takes a vacation. He's always there for every single one of us. God is our refuge. We can go to Him. We've been looking at the Old Testament a lot, but this is carried over into the New Testament. Notice Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, beginning in the latter part of verse 5. Hebrews 13, the latter part of verse 5. The Hebrews writer says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" He's not going to forsake the faithful, that's what he says. Amidst the worst possible types of turmoil and suffering, remember the song, A Mighty Fortress? Martin Luther was being persecuted for protesting against the main religion of his day because he saw that religion was wrong in many ways. And he wanted to change it. So he was being persecuted for it. So he wrote that song knowing that he could go to God because God was a mighty refuge, a mighty fortress, a rock fortress that the forces of evil could never penetrate. And so we see this in Psalm 46. There's a lot of things, a lot of outside forces in our world that can seem to be overwhelming at times. You know, we're entering a time when we're going to be having a new president. And those are always times that are difficult. You know, you don't know who's going to be the president. You don't know what they're going to do or not do or what direction they're going to take the country. So those are times of turmoil, just like this psalm talks about. And what does the psalm say? Don't worry, because God's still in control. That's what he says. Even if things get worse, God's still in control. Because what can man do to you? At the worst, he can kill your body, but he has no control over your soul. He has no control over where you spend eternity. That's what he's saying. So he says, trust in God. Even if the worst happens, trust in God. Going back to Psalms 27, as I mentioned we would, this time notice verse 5. Psalms 27, verse 5. Notice how David puts it. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. You know, the same God that helped David, the same God that helped Jacob, is our refuge. You know, God hasn't changed. He's the exact same God. He's the same fortress. He's that... is the same rock, the same refuge, the same place to go to. It's the exact same God. And we need to trust Him to do what's right. And then the last part of Psalm 46, the psalmist writes, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. We start seeing the power of God. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's almost as if the psalmist is like has this great big panorama and he says, look at all that God has done from the beginning. All the times He's helped His people. All the times He's been there for His people. All of those times. He's like this great big mural. And the people are to look at that mural and see, oh yeah, he did that, and he did that, and he did that, and he did that, and he did that. I've kind of forgotten that. That's the picture he's painting there in verse 8. Behold the works of the Lord. God's will is being carried out. It may not look like it. It may not look like it. But God's will is being worked out. The power of his enemies are nothing compared to his power. Something I know we probably forget because the people back then forget. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. You know, he wants us to know who He is. He wants us to know that He is God, that the powers in the world are nothing. They come and go. All those world empires that we've studied on Sunday night and other times, they're all gone, aren't they? They all came, they were on the scene for a while, then they left. They're all gone. But God, on the other end, is still God. He's the same God. He still has the same power He's always had. His nature hasn't changed. He says, be still. Why do you think He emphasizes being still? Can someone that is in constant motion and doesn't settle down to meditate and focus and think, can that person really know God? I don't think so. You have to settle down. You have to calm yourself. You have to think and meditate and focus on who God is to really know Him. And of course, one of the main things you do is you sit down and you meditate and you focus on His Word. And you spend time in it, and you spend time in it, and you spend time in it. He says, be still and know that I am God. That's how I know what God has done throughout history. That's how I know His works. That's how I know He's there. That's how I know He's a mighty fortress. That's how I know He's answered people's prayers throughout time. Looking at His Word. That's the way I know. So He says, be still and know that I am God. And that He wants to be with us. He wants us to be in His presence. He wants us to follow Him as our shepherd. No wonder Martin Luther, during severe trials and persecutions, turned to Psalm 46. While his life was being threatened and people with him, those protesters were being threatened, they went to Psalm 46 and read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's how he got through. That's how we get through. We live in times of turmoil. You don't have to listen to the TV or get on the computer for very long before you know we live in times of turmoil, difficult times, times of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. It seems like something new happens every day that we just wouldn't expect. Well, that's been the way it's been for a long time. So what do? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. People who don't know God, who've not experienced the new birth, who aren't part of the family of God, don't know that refuge and strength. Because they can't go to Him as their Father in the same way. And sometimes we forget that we can go to Him, and we get kind of further and further away from Him. We get further and further away from Jesus, from His people, and we just kind of drift away from Him. But He's there for us to come back to. And so this morning, as we sing our invitation song, ask yourself, is God really your refuge and strength, and is He the one you're going to? And if not, we ask you to come as we stand and sing this song.